If you have your Bibles, then turn with me. If you don't, then I have it and I'll read it. But I want to start it in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. The title of this one is God Uses Nuclear Radiation. Some of you voted on that one of the times when we picked what we would talk about. God uses nuclear radiation. Now, in truth, God doesn't use nuclear radiation. He uses His radiation. In this scripture, or these scriptures, these verses talk about God using His kind of radiation. He radiates out, and we're going to see exactly what that means here in Hebrews. Starting with verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners or in different manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us. And the King James says, by His Son, but most translators will translate that, in His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. All right, so that word, brightness of His glory, is really, it expresses radiation, or another word is effluence, and it is this outshining, this glorious outshining. And so Jesus is the express image, or the outshining, or Jesus is the radiation of God that we see when we see Him. And so, you know, the prophets, they spoke, they taught, they preached, they rebuked, they did all of these things. And they did it with words, and they got God's words from Him. Whatever God was saying, they communicated that. But Jesus came, and He radiates the Father. He radiates the very being of God instead of just His words. He is the vehicle of God's nuclear radiation of Himself, of God Himself. So Jesus didn't give long explanations. He didn't, you know, spend a lot of time talking about what the Father was like. He spent more time, when He did talk about the Father, about that the Father was in Him, and He spent more time talking about that it was the Father. Now it's our task to know Him through Jesus. And so, so anyway, I'll say it like this, Jesus is a shower, not just a talker. And I think that can apply to us as believers, that we may show Christ instead of just declaring Christ. Another scripture that along those lines about Jesus reflecting forth or showing forth the Father, this is in John 12, and it's verse 44 and verse 45. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me. I mean, how dedicated can He be that we see the Father and not Him? He that believeth on me doesn't believe on me, but on Him that sent me, and he that seeth me seeth Him that sent me. Of course, we're used to the scripture in John 14 and verse 9 where Philip and Jesus were talking, and Jesus' response when Philip said, show us the Father, was, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? How is this possible? You still don't realize that whatever you're seeing of glory is the outshining, the radiation, the glory of God. So we see in John 1:1, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The prophets, they spoke the words. They spoke the words, but Jesus was the Word of God. And you see that in verse 1. A lot of times we don't connect verse 14 with that. Verse 14 says, "And the Word," let's just put them together. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we see, that if He is the Word of God as God wants the Word to be, then He doesn't just stay in Word form. "And the Word was made flesh." The Word's with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so, in Christianity, there tends to be this this emphasis upon getting the Word in our head. Or we could quote David, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart." But God wants Jesus, the Word, manifest in our mortal flesh. We have plenty of scriptures on that. To have been first affected by God's radiation, shining out of Jesus as described in the scriptures, and then to have that same one who walked the earth, that same one that was the express image of God, to shine out of us, made flesh to shine out of us. So, I don't know. This is probably an improper way of saying this, but for Jesus to be incarnate in us, for the Word to be incarnate in us, for Christ crucified to be incarnate in us. The living Word that dies. The living Word that gives itself in death for the undeserving. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. I'm sure we're all familiar with this verse. It says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." All right. The change. That's the key. The word change there. We are changed. What is the change? We say it's into the image of Christ. But it's also out of our image, because the word change there is the word metamorphosis, which is changing from what we were to what He is. It's not just that we're changed to be like Jesus. It is that we're changed out of, you know, we use the caterpillar thing, out of a caterpillar that is earthbound, that can barely lift his head, to a butterfly. And that process, there's a process. And the process in between that, see, we read that and we go, okay, so I'm going to be changed, so Jesus is going to change me. But no, it's much more complicated than that. It is metamorphosis, which changes me from what I am to what he is, and there's a cocoon process in between that. And we, since we don't know it's the word metamorphosis, we assume that we're just going to get better. We're just going to get more like Jesus. But there's a death, and so you have Manoah in the book of Judges, he and his wife, and they have an encounter with God, and he's freaking out because he knows the Old Testament scriptures that no man hath seen God and lived, and he says we're gonna die because we saw God, because we've been exposed to radiation that will kill us. We've been exposed to God's radiation, and it's going to have an effect on us. Okay, so the change there, yes, there's a death, but there's also a resurrection. I mean, in other words, you could say it like this. The death is us, and the resurrection is him. The death is to the earth form. The metamorphosis involves a death, and that's what the cocoon represents, a tomb, a dark place to be put away. And so, looking in John again, if you still have your place there, John 1 and verse 11 and 12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Okay. You can't say that on a human level. He was in the world, and a whole lot of people knew he existed. A whole lot of people believed that there was a Jesus. I don't know what they believed about him, but they didn't know him. You see, you can believe things about a person and not know them. And Jesus felt, this scripture is written for all eternity because Jesus felt like his own didn't know him. You know? They didn't know him. And everything they knew about, and you remember the stories, you know, he says to his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're this. Jesus is thinking on the inside of him, I'm in the world, and they don't know me. They don't know me. So how will they ever conform to me? How will they ever know if it's really me in them if they don't know me the way I really am instead of the way that religion has presented me? He was in the world. The world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Okay, so there is this reality, and I think this is an eternal reality. We can say, well, it only relates to the Jews. It only relates to, you know, it only relates to the Jews. They failed God. You know, we look at Adam and we say, well, you know, he failed God. You know, I didn't do it. The Jews failed God. We didn't do that. But the question is not, have we received Jesus as Savior? The question is, do we know him so that his outshining can be seen through us by others in the manner that he wants himself to be known? His own didn't know him. His own didn't receive him, you know. But then verse 12, and I like that word there, but as many as, praise God, but, see, it's not all dull and dark and doom and gloom, but there are some, and as many as received him, meaning opened their hearts to know him beyond the religious designations, and really found Jesus. But as many as received him, listen to this word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Okay? All right. So, what is this promise to? There's power. It's as if the Lord would say, here, I want to give you power to become a son of God. Well, who is that given to? That's the ones who knew him the way he is, the ones who received him, the ones who, when he came to his own and they said, I want to know you, then he said, I want you to become what I am by my spirit and by my life. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name, even to them who know him by name, who know him by his reality, his eternal reality. Not religious designations, but eternal realities. And so I said this earlier, but I put it on this term. Power to become. The power to become dead, or let's put it this way. The power to become death and resurrection. The power to become death, us, but with Christ. And the power to become resurrection, pure Jesus. What God raised from the dead because he selflessly gave himself for us, not just for salvation, but to be joined to us, to be married to us, to be eternally never thought of apart from us again. His body, his bride. That's just amazing to me. That's just amazing to me. So, I'll end with that. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit who wants to breathe Christ into our being. I remember, Father, when you created the first man, he was an earthen vessel, but you breathed into him your spirit. And then he became a living soul, but you breathed into him of you. But Lord, when we're born again, it is your life and not I in this earthen vessel. Father, help us to long, even past all that we've known and gained by the Holy Spirit, to long to know him so that he wouldn't be alone, so that he, like that first man, is not good for man to be alone. Jesus came unto his own and he was alone. He was alone. He found nothing after his kind and nothing that would even recognize his kind and what that was like. But Lord, you said, but as many as will receive you and seek you and long after you, and not just our own longing, but to satisfy your longing. Your longing, to long for us, to long to be the answer to your longing, to answer your prayer request in John, Lord, when you prayed, Jesus, you said that they may be one with me, even as I am one with the Father. Father, help us. Help us to come to a spirit where we want to answer Jesus' prayer request. And he only prayed that one thing at that point, that we may be one. And this was just before he went to the cross. Father, let the Holy Spirit move upon us in special ways to soften our hearts towards him more and more and more, even as his heart remains open and soft towards us. We ask it in Jesus' name.